Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Getting you set for the fans' virtual draft party later tonight and reacting to Denver's acquisition of Teddy Bridgewater, presented by Coors Light. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Yeah, I don't know about week one. We're really high on Drew. I like seeing Drew here every morning when I come in. He's working hard. He's trending in the right direction. As you know, he has a lot of talent. I think he's becoming a better pro. But we're going to still look at the quarterback position. You know, I've said since I got here, we want to bring in competition, and that's the goal. And we plan on doing that.
All right, there's George Payton just last week talking about the Broncos quarterback situation. They did bring in a quarterback. No surprise. Teddy Bridgewater is now a Denver Bronco at a relatively cheap price, late pick, paying about $3 million. You put it all together, it'd probably be about $4.5 million when it's all said and done. Mark Schlereth, good morning. Welcome. As I got a text this morning from a friend who said, how do you get out of bed on a day like today? Absolutely nothing to talk about. This is fun. We're ready for the draft and the little wrinkle that was thrown in yesterday. All right, what does it all mean?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I definitely think it's interesting. There's no question. I mean, you know, you just hear that sound from George Payton. And what did he say? Well, like, what resonates? The things that just jump into my ear when somebody speaks. I think the thing that resonated most with me is, you know, I love seeing Drew here. He's working hard every day. And I'm paraphrasing, but I think he said learning how to be a pro or becoming a better pro. And isn't that the issue? You know, with the, I understand it's got to be fun. I understand it's got to be, but at that position, Mike, you have got to come in with an old soul. You have got to come in being a professional. You have got to come in understanding how to study. One of the biggest criticisms I had for John Elway and the Denver Broncos were their lack of bringing in a veteran quarterback to help the young guys mature. When Drew Locke comes to the sideline, he's talking to Brett Rippon, a guy that never played. You know, that those things matter. And for more than any, I mean, more than anything, I will tell you, Teddy Bridgewater is a pro's pro. The guy will prepare. The guy will teach the other guys how to prepare. He will study. He will be on point. Now, there are physical limitations. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater, at the end of the day, is going to throw for 2,900 yards, 17 TDs, and 7 picks. Like, he's just not going to get you hurt. That's kind of what he is. On third down and 12, man, he ain't ripping one down the seam. He's throwing a check down and seeing if somebody can break a tackle and pick up a first down. That's the issue. Like, there's not a lot of the bust in Teddy Bridgewater, meaning there's not a lot of the turnovers, there's not a lot of the dumb decisions, but there certainly is not a lot of boom in Teddy Bridgewater. It's steady Eddie, and if you're looking at it like, hey, man, we got a pretty decent defense, we increased our defensive ability by getting both of our safeties signed. We signed some cornerbacks. Like, we Von Miller's back. He's going to rush the passer. Bradley Chubb, 2 years off the ACL. He'll be better next year. Like, we've got a good defense. We'll create some turnovers. As long as we don't turn the ball over, we've got a chance to compete. If that's what you're looking at, then good on you. And he's the perfect guy to bring into your locker. But our locker room. But I think the one thing, Mike, that I look at that resonates with me is if you're opening up a competition and if Drew Locke can't beat out Teddy Bridgewater, then, you know, then you're still have the fourth best quarterback in the division by a pretty long shot, regardless of Drew Locke or Teddy Bridgewater starts. So how does that make you that much better?
Teddy Bridgewater's basically started the starter for two seasons in his career. 2015, his second season in the NFL with Minnesota, played all 16 games, threw 14 touchdowns, 9 picks, was sacked 44 times.
Yeah.
This past year with Carolina, played 15 games, threw 15 touchdowns, 11 picks. In the 2 years in his career in which he's been given a chance to be the guy, he's thrown a combined 29 touchdowns and 20 picks. This guy's not, if this guy is the Broncos starting quarterback this year, it's for one reason and one reason only. They drafted a quarterback. They draft a quarterback tonight, and he's the placeholder for a few weeks until Justin Fields, Trey Lance is ready to go. If they don't draft a quarterback and it's Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater, heaven help the Broncos if Lock can't beat out Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, then their season's going nowhere. Teddy Bridgewater is here to be a backup. That's how he is, yes. I think, best suited. He's here to be a backup, a mentor, whether it be to Drew Lock. He's here to be a placeholder, eventual backup mentor to Fields or Lance.
If the question is, you know, Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater, I think the answer is disappointment. You're disappointed if Teddy Bridgewater beats out Drew Lock.
You're hugely disappointed.
Now, let me ask you this, because I think there have been two separate theories here, Mike. And you know, there is the theory that now for sure they're drafting a quarterback at 9, right? Or there's the theory that I feel like they're going to try to trade back, grab a second rounder, draft somebody who, because the quarterback, the elevated nature of the quarterback position, draft somebody who is a top 10 player at 13, 14, whatever, get yourself a second rounder, and draft a khaki pants quarterback.
Well, that leads to what will they do tonight? And the immediate reaction after the Bridgewater trade came through was, well, this is a huge downer. It means they're not interested in a quarterback. Don't be so sure. What do we think happens tonight? What do you think happens tonight in the wake of the Bridgewater deal? Let us know. Ramoslaw.com. Text line 303-713-1043. Give your thoughts next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
To me, Denver, there's no sense trading up unless you 100% believe from top to bottom in your organization that there's a difference maker to do so. And yeah, if you trade up to number 4, then and you get one of these young quarterbacks, then you think, hey, this, you know, we're going to hit on it for the next 10 years. We're going to have a legitimate quarterback. Then you absolutely go for it. And
Rex Ryan on with us earlier this week. Looking ahead to tonight. The NFL draft is here. The Broncos hold the 9th pick. We'll have gavel-to-gavel coverage throughout the course of the evening. Mark and I will be joining the drive at 6:30 tonight. So we should be on the air around the time, at the time that the Broncos make their pick. So when the Bridgewater trade gets made yesterday, immediately, I start hearing from people like, this is such a downer. This I was so excited about the idea of them drafting a quarterback. This is obviously out of play. Is it?
Listen, I don't think that it is. I think that there is a chance to get a quarterback, but here's what it alleviates. To me, what alleviates. You don't have to get one in the first round. You don't have to get one. If you're not in love with one of these guys, now, if one falls to you, could you go get him or could you take him? Absolutely. But to me, you're not, I mean, you're not, I guess you're not married to the idea of getting that guy. I mean, I could easily see them saying, hey, man, what if we trade back? What if we continue to build our roster, get ourselves another? We just gave up a 6th-round pick. We know that George Payton likes to have ammunition in the draft. What if we traded back and got a 2nd-round pick? And what if we've evaluated it in such a way that we think Kyle Munn, or we think, we think Trask or Kellen Munn, excuse me, Kyle Trask. We think
just
those,
look over your left shoulder.
Oh yeah, they're all right there
on the take a chance board.
Right, take a chance board. What if we sit there and say, hey man, we like all these, or what if you trade back and you say, man, Mac Jones is going to fall? Like, what if it is Trey Lance to San Francisco? And then what if the Atlanta Falcons decide, man, we need to eventually draft the replacement to Matt Ryan. And oh, by the way, their head coach loves the zone read, the athletic quarterback that can be a run or can be a threat in the run game. So what if they say, oh, Justin Fields, man, he fits what we want to do in a year or two when Matt Ryan is done. Like, I don't have, this is the great thing about this draft. We have, after two, we have no idea.
I don't think that this changes it at all. I really don't. If you're George Payton, here is my immediate reaction. Why signal that you're out of the QB Derby the day before the draft with a move that you can easily make after the first round is over? Acquiring Bridgewater. Why come out and say, yep, all right, we got Teddy Bridgewater. He's our competition for Drew Lock. We're out of the QB Derby. Doesn't make sense.
Right.
That makes sense at all. You go through all of the pre-draft buildup and, you know, everybody's trying to play their cards close to the vest, all that stuff. And then 24 hours before the draft, you say, yep, we're out of it. That doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't smell right. I think they're absolutely still in the quarterback derby. And you know me. Look, fundamentally, I'm against the idea of drafting quarterbacks that high in the first round. But if there is one guy, if they come away with that I won't hate the pick, it would be Justin Fields. And, you know, I think about the whole Fields story. Back during the season, it was absolutely just assumed. It was taken on faith, fact, that it was Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. These were the two top can't-miss quarterbacks in the draft. And then, you know, he had a couple of bad games in the Big Ten, and, you know, his stock seemed to drop a little bit. I feel like it's come back around. And to the point where I look at Fields, and there are a couple of reasons why, if they're going to come away with the quarterback, I hope it's Fields. I like the fact that he played at Ohio State. I love the fact that this guy played big-time college football. His performance against Clemson in the national semifinal really stood out to me. And then you hear, you know, I how much we love Joel Klatt. Joel Klatt raves about him. Joel Klatt gives him
yes!
the seal of approval.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Tim Hasselbeck on the other day, and here's what Hasselbeck had to say about Justin Fields.
I think Justin Fields is the second-best quarterback in this draft class. I went into watching him thinking I would see, you know, guys that have come out of that program, you know, recently. So like the Cardell Jones type or Dwayne Haskins, a guy who I really was not a fan of when he was coming out. And so, but what I saw was a completely different player. Like, I think Justin Fields I think he's a really good passer. And I think he's an incredible runner. And I think in some ways, he kind of has this, like, Cam Newton skill set. And people need to remember, like, when Cam came into the league, like, yes, he kind of had this idea of being a run-first, you know, quarterback because of his size. And, you know, he was an excellent goal line runner, you know, even when he kind of came into the NFL. But he also threw for, like, 4,000 yards as a rookie. So I think Justin Fields has got that type of talent and knows how to play the position.
I referenced Klatt. Here's what he sent to me when I texted him and I asked him about a breakdown on Fields because,
yes!
as he said, he goes, I've called 10 of his games the last 2 years.
Right.
I don't think there's any really more of an authority out there that I trust on the subject of Justin Fields than our buddy Klatt. And he said, as athletically gifted as any QB I've been around, very accurate to every spot on the field, can hold the ball too long at times. However, he does not lock on to the number one in the progression. He holds the ball because he is big, strong, fast. He can make bad plays good, needs to learn to give up on plays sooner and burn the ball. Excellent leader, who is one of the sole reasons the Big Ten even played football in the first place. Ryan Day's system is not simple. He learned it and executed it wonderfully. Never heard anyone at Ohio State talk about his work ethic in a bad light ever. So out of all the quarterbacks not named Trevor Lawrence, Fields is the guy I like
Yeah,
the most. And so if
sure,
I don't believe in drafting quarterbacks that high. But if it was Fields, I might come around to it. But not Lance. I don't want another project. Jones is somebody that, geez, if I want a Mac Jones type, I'll wait and draft Kyle Trask in the second round. And Zach Wilson, I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, Mac Jones just reminds me of something you want to squish.
Squish?
Yeah, you know.
Son of a bitch, dug in like an Alabama tick.
You know, you just kind of like a big pimple. You just want to squish it. You know, it's like,
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
They're busting there? Let me see. It feels squishy to me.
Squishy. Mac. He looks squishy. Well, you see him with his shirt off after the title game?
Yeah, he does look squishy. Yeah, listen, I wouldn't hate the pick at all if it was Fields. I wouldn't even hate the pick if it was Lance. I wouldn't hate, but here's the thing about me. I would totally be down with moving back, grabbing yourself a Rashawn Slater. If you could pick up a Rashawn Slater and think about the versatility that gives you. You could lock him in at right tackle. If Juwan James comes back and wants to play, you could put him at right guard. You could move Glasgow to center.
What about Kush?
Huh?
Kush!
He can watch.
What you have is my word, and it's stronger than oak.
Yeah, my word is stronger than oak. And hey, speaking of oak, sit down on that bench. You know, it'd give you a lot of versatility, and hey, it's only a matter of time before Juwan James gets his feelings hurt and can't play, right? I mean, he's played a solid 63 plays in the last two seasons, so.
So you absolutely think quarterback's still in play?
I do think it's still in play, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was a play in the second or third round.
Okay.
That's all I'm telling you.
Coming up, Morning Brew, more on the Bridgewater trade. And, did Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets get away with one last night? Who says Nikola Jokic doesn't get calls? Details next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to eat lightning, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs crafty and crueler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet shit.
Let's get it on.
Davis switches to his left hip as Bridgewater has the snap. Sets, pumps, throws into the flat. Complete Anderson. Anderson left pylon, scores a touchdown.
Panthers radio. Teddy Bridgewater now a Bronco. A move that many of us saw coming. As the competition/mentor quarterback. But would you really feel good, comfortable, if Teddy Bridgewater was your starting quarterback?
No. Do I feel comfortable? Yeah, I do. I feel comfortable. I mean, I like Teddy Bridgewater. I just don't think that, you know, the whole reason that you hired Pat Shurmur was, what were we told? Push the ball down the field, takes his shots. That's not Teddy Bridgewater's game. Like, Teddy Bridgewater is not a, hey, let's take a shot down the sideline. Let's take, you know, let's throw a deep dig. That's not his game. So, does he know where everybody is? Absolutely. We got to be on schedule, convert third down and fours, you know. That's his game. Check down Teddy, they used to call him in Minnesota. And there's nothing wrong with that if you have the ability, you know, to not shoot yourself in the foot, to run the ball, to have an identity, to know what you're doing, then you're fine. But you're not, you know, you're going like the difference is playing roulette, right? You're going five on, you're going five on red, not 55 on black, right? You're just saying, hey, man, let's just keep going five here, five here, five here. That's what you got to be into. And to do that, man, you've got to have really good players that understand how to execute.
I think he just sets up as backup mentor to Drew Locke or placeholder starter for the first 4 or 5 weeks until Justin Fields or Trey Lance or Mac Jones is ready to go.
Yeah.
But you really don't want him to be your starting quarterback. Next on the Morning Brew.
We'll watch the film tomorrow. We'll learn from it. I think it's really important that you learn from your mistakes and you don't accept in victory what you wouldn't accept in defeat. So the game should never have been that close. We all realize that, and we all have to be better.
I didn't even get to say Michael Malone.
What?
Are you gonna write down that comment he made there at the beginning?
Yeah. What did he say? Shouldn't accept in victory what you
play it again. Mark needs to write it down. Write it down.
We'll watch the film tomorrow. We'll learn from it. I think it's really important that you learn from your mistakes and you don't accept in victory what you wouldn't accept in defeat. So
don't accept
the game should never
have
been that close.
That's enough. Don't accept in victory what you wouldn't accept in defeat.
Yes.
Don't ever tell me that Nikola Jokic doesn't get calls. If you look at the block of Zion Williamson at the end that preserved the 114-112 win, oh, the Joker got away with one. He totally cuffed Zion on his right wrist.
I'm okay with that. You know, three blocks on the night. He had whatever he had, 32 points. I mean, and, you know, the thing is you did it to a guy that, you know, has recently crept into kind of Zion Williamson being MVP today, right? I mean, that, like, you got the call, not Zion. That says something about where they are, where he is right now in the pecking order of kind of star players.
By the way, with this never-ending quest by ESPN to bring up new and fresh MVP candidates.
Yes.
I don't know. Have you watched the way Michael Porter Jr.'s been playing lately? Could Michael Porter Jr. make a run at the MVP?
The MVP
and beat out Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, it's anything's possible.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Yeah, well, we played hard, played real hard, actually. Had a few mistakes. It's the type of team Vegas is. You make a mistake, they capitalize. They got a lot of finishers over there. Some of our mistakes led directly to either goals against or penalties against. So there's some areas that we got to clean up.
All right, let's get, first of all, Jared Bednar's Avalanche are not playing well right now. They've lost three in a row. They've lost three in a row against St. Louis and Vegas. So that's the concerning news.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is, look, they're going to be fine. First of all, they got some help last night. Minnesota was poised to beat St. Louis and would have jumped over the Avalanche into second place.
Mm-hmm.
But the Wild coughed up a 3-1 lead. St. Louis scored three in the third to come back and win. And the other thing, too, is I laid out yesterday, the Avalanche finished now 8 of their last 9 games are against San Jose and Los Angeles, 2 of the 10 worst teams in the NHL. So there's still plenty of time against lousy competition for them to get their mojo back.
Let me ask you this. At what time does it become a concern?
I'll tell you when.
You'll let me know.
I mean, if
you're not sure yet, you'll know when you see it. Is it kind of like it factor?
They
like,
got 9 games left. If they are still, they play their next 4 against San Jose. Their next six are against San Jose and Los Angeles. If we're through the next 4 games against San Jose and they still aren't looking right, okay. You don't need to push the panic button, but have it close by.
Right.
Fair enough?
Yeah, okay.
All right, next on the Morning Brew.
Flores pokes one down the right field line. Blackman chasing after it, still going. Goes into a slide, it lands fair, he doesn't catch it. And it bounces up into the corner. Crawford had to wait, so he'll come in to score.
Giants radio. So the Rockies, who are being no-hitted until, or no-hit, no-hitted, no-hit,
no-hitted,
no-hitted, into the sixth inning, Garrett Hampson broke it up, but the Rockies lose 7-3.
Too many walks early, Armand I can't say it.
Herman.
Marcus. Is it Marcus?
It
now?
Is Marcus.
That's what Drew Goodman is calling him. So if it's good enough for Drew, it's good enough for me.
Okay.
Herman Marcus.
What happened to Marquez?
It became
Marcus.
Marcus. Him not being him struggling in the strike zone. He walked. He bases loaded, walked in two runs. Him struggling in the strike zone. It was an ugly game from the start. How about that?
Yeah. So the Rockies lose 2 out of 3. They're on to Arizona for the next 4. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Got this text as we were chatting. Mike is sounding more negative than Marilat with all this Teddy Two Gloves slander. Well, speaking of Marilat, James Marilat, he's going to join us coming up next. What does he see for the Broncos tonight? Is quarterback still in play? How does he feel about the prospects of a Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Lock training camp showdown? The Decision 3.0? James will join us next. James Marilat rules all at DenverFan.com. He joins us now on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Did you have a sinking feeling in your stomach when you first heard about the Teddy Bridgewater trade that the Broncos would be out of the quarterback derby this evening?
Yeah, the news came down about 10 minutes before the war room started yesterday, which I was on, and it took a little rallying on my part, you know, after banging my head against my desk for 10 minutes to then go on the air. Because, yeah, that's what it feels like to me, is that, you know, George Payton has told us throughout the offseason he wants to add competition for Drew Lock. Okay, well, I guess we take him at his word, because it appears as though that means bring in a veteran, bring in Teddy Bridgewater, and let those two compete during camp and during preseason, and the best man will win and start week one. It makes it feel like tonight they're out on quarterback. Certainly means to me that they're not going to trade up and be aggressive to get a quarterback. And I think that's a colossal mistake. I think this is a team that has proven over the last, you know, 15 years, when you have a great quarterback, you're a Super Bowl contender. When you don't, you're, you know, average at best, yet they continue to try to win with journeyman quarterbacks. It is frustrating beyond belief.
So you're not like Mike that thinks that Teddy Bridgewater automatically makes you like a 10-win organization. He said, if we just get good if we just get good quarterbacking, we'll win 10 games.
Right, and I don't envision Teddy Bridgewater being the guy.
Teddy Bridgewater's a good quarterback. He's not going to turn it over. So what do you think the odds are that Teddy Bridgewater is the starter long-term this season?
I think the odds are pretty good he's the starter this season. I don't think he's the long-term answer, but that's part of my issue with this move, Mark, is that I think it'll help the Broncos maybe be a little bit better this year, maybe win an extra game or two, although no one has been able to tell me the game in 2020 they would have won if Teddy Bridgewater had been on the roster, including the game in Carolina when Drew Lock outplayed Teddy Bridgewater. But nonetheless, like, yeah, maybe they win an extra game or two and they get to 8-9 or 9-8, and, you know, they're in contention for that number 7 seed all the way into December. All that's going to do is give Vic Fangio the argument of, hey, we improved by 3.5 games, and, you know, keep this team kind of on the treadmill to nowhere, and it'll get them right in that sweet spot, right, of, boy, you're picking 18, and then you're totally out on a quarterback. If they don't draft a quarterback tonight, guys, they will have had a top 10 pick in 3 of the last 4 drafts. They will have taken Bradley Chubb, traded down and taken Noah Fant, and then picked whoever they take tonight, Micah Parsons or whoever. 3 top 10 picks in 4 years, which is a sign you're a bad football team, and not address the quarterback position so you can bring in a guy that can maybe get you to hover at or near 500. Does he make him better? Sure, but does he give him a better chance to win? Okay, but to win what? It's not about trying to be as close to 500 as you can be. It's about trying to build a team that's on a trajectory to a championship. Teddy Bridgewater doesn't put him anywhere near that. I think, if anything, he hurts their chances because he puts them in no man's land when it comes to the draft next year.
Now, wait, how can they be a top 6 roster if they're a bad football team drafting in the top 10 3 out of 4 years? This is confusing to me. Go, please enlighten me.
Yeah, it's the Fangio effect, right? So, you know, I've taken a lot of heat for my 10-6 pick last year, And I've said all along, hey, I liked the roster. Well, it's not significantly different now. I mean, you know, Kyle Fuller and Ronald Darby better than A.J. Boye? Sure. But they lost Jarrell Casey. I mean, you know, it's essentially the same kind of a roster. It's not as though they made all these splashy moves in the offseason. That's why it's so much better. I underestimated the impact of a head coach who doesn't know how to use timeouts, doesn't know how to manage people, doesn't know how to get his offensive coordinator to say, hey, what worked against the Panthers, we should maybe do that again at some point this year. I think it's a huge indictment of Vic Fangio that they were 5-11 with a roster that was that good. And I know they had injuries. I get it. I'm not going to be totally unfair. But boy, that falls on the coaching staff. But it also shows, to some extent, it doesn't matter what's around you if you have a gaping hole at quarterback. Once in a while, once in a blue moon, a great defense can overcome that. And we've seen that 5 or 6 times in the Super Bowl era in the last 55 years. But it's the exception, not the rule. And that's why this team has underperformed. Since Super Bowl 50, they keep trying to win with journeyman middle of the road quarterbacks and can win with defense. And they don't understand that 2015 year, was the aberration. They just don't seem to get it.
Oh, okay. But I think that you got to look at this a different way. If they do not draft a quarterback tonight, then what that tells me, and I'm giving George Payton the benefit of the doubt until he's proven that he doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt. If they do not draft a quarterback tonight, that to me is an endorsement of Drew Lock, that George Payton believes that Drew Lock is going to make a big jump this year. How else other to read it?
Well, I think the other way to read it is he doesn't want to come in and year one push all his chips into the middle of the table, which I also think is foolish, right? Oh, he's got a 6-year contract. Why go all in on year one? Like, you also have a top six.
How would he be pushing his chips in this year, in year one? If he drafted a quarterback?
Yeah, if he moved up to 4 to take Justin Fields, or, you know, he move up to 7 to get Justin Fields if he falls that far, like doing something bold. Like, I don't understand this rationale that you have to be timid because it's year one. It's like, no, 6 years goes by in the blink of an eye. And if this team isn't good, he's not going to make it the whole 6 years. So I don't understand that. I think it's a very passive move. I think it's also a team that, for whatever reason, whether they're bringing back Von Miller, bringing back Kareem Jackson, signing Kyle Fuller, they're trying to, you know, do all they can to help a guy who should have already been fired salvage his job. If they don't take a quarterback this year, because that would make it tougher for Vic Fangio to win in 2021, it's the ultimate short-sighted move. I'm trying to give George Payton the benefit of the doubt too, Mike. I think until he proves us, proves that he's not the guy that's going to make big, bold moves and get Broncos country excited, we shouldn't convict him of that. But boy, yesterday's move just reeks of Joe Flacco's in his prime and Case Keenum is going to come in here and, you know, do what he did in Minnesota, and just some of the moves we've seen the last half decade. It just reeks of similar type of stuff.
All right. We look forward to all your coverage at DenverFan.com. We'll hear, of course, from you throughout the course of the draft all weekend long. James, thank you.
You bet, fellas.
James Merrillat on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Do you look at it that way? Do you have that sinking feeling in your gut that quarterback, after all the weeks of buildup and anticipation and excitement and, oh, what could be, did that all come to a slamming halt yesterday? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.